Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, hour two. It is just wonderful to have you in Los Angeles. That's where we're at. Can't go outside and eat in your restaurant, but we're still in Los Angeles. It's The Herd, wherever you may be, however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. I always think it's fascinating. The restaurants are open, so a bunch of people are jammed into a small kitchen making food. But Joy and I, we couldn't sit 12 feet apart outdoors. That would be dangerous.
I don't know. I wouldn't want to be the one making these decisions.
I would. I'd like to make all of them.
Feels like maybe they could have made better decisions.
If you wonder why people in Los Angeles are now rolling their eyes, when you have, like, you know, public officials making rules, getting caught on vacations, not wearing masks, and then demanding you can't eat outside.
Well, I think it's safe to say 2020 has been it's not great for a lot of politicians.
It's been a bad year to be a public official.
Wear a mask. We'll get through this.
All right, we will. All right, it's the Herd hierarchy. It's the 10 best teams in the NFL. I may have a mistake at 3 and 4. I've been thinking about it all morning, but I'm going to go with it. I'll explain it. Here we go.
Herd hierarchy.
Time is now. Let's go.
The top 10 NFL teams according to college. Number 10.
Seattle. I know they lost, but, you know, I still think they're better over 5 games than the Giants. It was their first home loss of the year. The defense has 21 sacks since week 9, most in the league. DK Metcalf leads the NFL in receiving yards. They had a clunker because their offensive line for 4 quarters got pushed all over the field by the Giants. Listen, the Raiders beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead. Do we think they're better? Washington beat the Steelers last night. Do we think they're better? Not over time. I think Seattle is better than the Giants over time, but the Giants deserve credit for the win, and Seattle should be dropped to just number 10.
Number 9.
Dolphins. Seattle beat them earlier. I don't know if they beat them today. Dolphins have won 7 of 8. Their defense is number 2 in the league in scoring. Mark Schlereth said it this weekend. Their defense is confusing people. Xavien Howard leads the NFL with 8 picks. Their draft picks are hitting it out of the park. Tua does not turn the ball over. They're a little like a really, really, really young New Orleans Saints when Drew Brees came in. You know, they're building stuff. They're not there yet, but they got this quarterback who's accurate, smart, and never turns the ball over. Love their head coach, Dolphins at 9.
Number 8.
Steelers. Folks, this is what they are. I may be being kind. 5+ drop passes again last night. 55 yards rushing since week 8, worst in the league. Big Ben, 45 or more pass attempts in the last month, most in the league. 3 of their 4 remaining games, they face the Bills, the Colts, the Browns, winning records. This team isn't doing a ton right, and their injuries are piling up on their defense. I've got them at 8, and I'm being kind.
Number 7.
Cleveland would beat them today. Cleveland's got the number 1 rushing offense. Baker Mayfield's not turning it over, and they're not asking him to throw a ton. Here's what's interesting. Odell Beckham hurt opening drive week 7. Baker Mayfield, since then, we always thought Baker and Odell were not perfect. Since then, 11 touchdowns, 1 pick, passer rating 112 for Baker Mayfield. We kept saying it. Odell's great, and Baker's got talent. They're a bad fit. Baker was forcing the ball to Odell Beckham. Since he's been hurt, Baker's a different quarterback. Now, I don't love their defense. I don't. But I think offensively right now, they have the ability to eat the clock, and Baker's not turning it over. I got him at 7.
Number 6.
But I think they'd lose head-to-head with Tampa Bay. Bucks are coming off a bye. They're struggling right now. But again, they finish with 4 games against teams 500 or worse. Brady is great off a bye. I think teams that are talented off a bye, especially without preseason, they'll right the ship. They have the number 1 rushing defense. They take the ball away. Tampa at 6.
Number 5.
But I think the Rams would beat them. Listen, the Rams have won 3 of 4. They don't match up with San Francisco. We've seen it in the last two. They don't match up with them. But they're 33-0 when they lead at halftime, and they usually do with McVay. Their pass defense, the best secondary of the league, hands down. They're great corners, great at safety. They've allowed, this is a big one, they've allowed the fewest big plays in the NFL this year. Those are 20-plus yard plays. So you got to grind it out against them. It's very Belichickian. They're not giving you any free stuff. Jared Goff, when comfortable, they lead, they win, case closed.
Number four.
I think I may have them one spot too low. I'm going to put Buffalo here. I think I've got them too low. I turned this in this morning. I think I have them too low. First of all, they're a Hail Mary pass away from being 6-0 in their last six games. They should have won six straight. A Hail Mary pass. They outplayed Arizona, or they'd be 6-0. They're the only offense with 20-plus first downs in every game. Their defense leads the NFL in takeaways in the fourth quarter. They're exceptionally well-coached. Buffalo at four.
Number three.
But out of respect, I'm going to put Green Bay at three. Aaron Rodgers is on fire. Devontae Adams, I think this morning's the best receiver in the league. Aaron Jones is unbelievable. I still think they miss Blake Martinez at linebacker. But what can I say? They're playing much better in the second half of games now. So situationally, they're making adjustments after half. I didn't think they were very good at that last year. They remain pretty healthy. It's a good pass blocking offensive line. Listen, it's pretty simple to figure it out. When they lead and teams have to throw against them to catch up, they're great. If they fall behind and you can run the football and eat the clock, they're not a great football team. But people aren't taking leads on them. Aaron's happy, content, and comfortable. I have him at three.
Number two.
Saints, to me, have the best roster, thanks to Mickey Loomis and Jeff Ireland in the front office. I think they're the best roster in the NFL. They don't have an over-the-top component passing. But, I mean, what other team in the NFL? 9 straight wins, 5-1 on the road, haven't had the easiest schedule, have had turmoil at quarterback. Last 2 years, they're 8-0 in those games. Their defense has allowed 16 or fewer points in 5 straight games. First month of the year, I did not love this defense. They have tightened it up. That's what well-coached teams do. And I do think roster top to bottom, it's the best in the NFL.
Number one.
All right, we know who it is. All right, Kansas City. They don't give the ball. You know, here's the thing with them is they only have 8 giveaways all year. So it's just frightening. It's like if the Warriors never had turnovers. So they're the most explosive offense. And oh, yeah, they never turn it over. That's a nightmare combination. A lot of times you get the flashy offense, little run and gun. Mahomes doesn't throw picks. They don't fumble. So right now I feel like the only team that really matches up with them, I think New Orleans matches up with them really well, and I think I may have Buffalo a little low. The reason I put Buffalo at four, I didn't want to be your typical sportscaster. A team plays great on Monday night, and I come out here hair on fire. Buffalo's going to win every game. I was like, nah, don't be that guy.
You don't think it's hair on fire to have the Browns above the Steelers?
I think the Browns are playing great. They do a lot well.
I think the Browns are playing great,
and
too.
And they're healthy. Their offensive line rate's higher.
So if the Steelers and Browns play today, you think the Browns will beat the Steelers?
Absolutely. Pittsburgh can't run the ball.
Oh, Colin. Well, the good news is I can go to Pittsburgh anytime I want, so I can vouch for you.
Let me tell you something. People don't believe what I'm about to say. They love me in Cleveland. I'm going to be a grand marshal of a parade sometime soon.
They don't love me in Cleveland, but I don't know. I don't know about that one. But I'm not they play week 17, so we'll find out. I don't think it's outrageous, though, the 3 and 4 spots. I think you have the Packers above the Bills appropriately.
All right. So James Harden, here's a story on James Harden. Peter King's around the corner. So James Harden is hitting strip clubs around the country. He won't report. You know, they got a new players, new GM, new head coach. And so they could really use him right now in Houston. He's not available. In the NBA, I think sometimes owners, GMs, and coaches get paralyzed by talent. And talent matters. It really, I'm not saying it doesn't. But I'll give you an example in my industry. There's a reason Jim Nance and Mike Tirico and Joe Buck and Al Michaels, yes, they're talented, but networks trust them to do these huge games, to not go off on crazy guy tangents. Part of what makes them the Big Four is they're grown-ups. They can handle, you lose the picture. You know, somebody says something inappropriate. You got to ad-lib through a long rain delay or something, or an electrical outage. That's what makes Nance and Buck and Tirico and Michaels, that's what makes them the big four. They're grown-ups. I always think about this in the NBA. Everybody just pays talent. But to me, If I ran an NBA team, I would pay talent with personality. There are guys I want to be connected to. Damian Lillard, Steph, LeBron, Clay, Chris Paul, Giannis. They have max personalities. But we give max contracts to Westbrook and Harden and John Wall and Kyrie Irving and Joel Embiid. And I don't think they have max personalities. If you're going to give somebody $35 million a year or make them the lead play-by-play guy to network, your talent's important. I'm not saying that. And it's the lead dog. But in the NBA, if you're going to get a max contract, do you have a max personality? Can you handle it? Can I trust you? Are you focused? Can you play every night? Are you all in emotionally? Are you coachable? I mean, I like Ben Simmons. Bruh, could you spend an offseason learning how to, I don't know, shoot? Come on. And like right now, James Harden, he's telling you, I'm a two. I score like a one, but I'm a two. I'm not really a leader. I'm all good with that. He's telling you what he is. But I always think it's interesting. In the end, in basketball, it's like, oh, the talent. Listen, Klay Thompson is talented, but he's not nearly as talented as perhaps a Joel Embiid or a John Wall or a Westbrook. But Klay Thompson has a max personality. I will connect to that. And I, you know, some of these teams, they get burned because they're like, talent, max money. And I'm like, no, no, no. All you have to do in this league is find one great player, Tim Duncan, Shaq, LeBron, Matt. And I'm not saying it's easy. But once you get that max contract, max personality guy, then you don't necessarily have to have a bunch of max contract talent. What you have to have is guys that work with your Duncan or your LeBron or your AD or your Dame or your Steph or your Clay. I would just struggle to give Harden, open the bank up for him. Not that he's a bad guy, but it's like, this stuff has to be considered if I'm going to pay a 35 large. Like, do you have the personality that I'm willing to connect to? Because once I give you that money, you control the franchise. You control it. And there's guys in this league, I'd give Damian Lillard anything. It doesn't matter, not just that he wants to stay in Portland, but his personality, he's a grinder. LeBron's still a grinder. Steph and Clay and Chris Paul and Giannis, by the way. Max personality can handle it. I don't know. Harden to me is the world's best two. It's okay. But I'd pay him like a two. And if the market says you're wrong, all right, bye-bye. But this is the nonsense in Houston's dealing with here.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Tonight, it's a special edition of the NFL on Fox as Zeke and the Cowboys take on the Ravens. Coverage begins at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, also available on NFL Network and streaming on Prime Video.
I am so excited. I told you last night it was cigars, sushi, cocktails, and the NFL with a friend. I had so much fun last night and a little Instagram.
Really good night.
And tonight, I'll probably be by myself, but Ravens, Cowboys tonight. I'm so excited.
On a Tuesday night.
It's really.
And then you get one night off.
And then I get.
And then you get Thursday night football, Patriots-Rams.
It's the Rams-Patriots. My Lord. Let's go to Peter King. Football Morning in America, NBCSports.com, joins us as always on a Tuesday. All right. Here's what was interesting last night. So Mike Tomlin, in a very smart veteran coaching move, did a real smart thing last week. He really called his team out. And he knew they were not playing well. And you usually do that. A veteran coach will do that, Peter, to get an inspired effort the next week. But instead, Pittsburgh was awful again. And my theory is because they really have become a less dynamic team. The injuries. They can't run the football. What you saw last night's not a mirage. This is kind of what they are. Agree or disagree?
I totally agree. I mean, the lack of a running game is stunning. The fact that Roethlisberger has gone 2 weeks in a row throwing it more than 50 times is just
insane,
unheard of in Pittsburgh annals. It just is ridiculous. And now, look, they go to Buffalo this week. I don't mean to be an alarmist after one loss, but who do you like in that game?
Buffalo.
I mean, you know, yeah. You, if you watch television last night for 6 hours, okay, you don't like the Pittsburgh Steelers over Buffalo, at least right at this moment. I'm not saying I don't know who I'd pick in this game, but man, Buffalo looked really good. Pittsburgh didn't. The only thing that's going to keep Pittsburgh in every game they play is that defense.
Yeah. I said this yesterday, the Giants beating the Seahawks is an upset, but we may look back and go, you know, it's not as big of an upset as we think. And I just had Logan Ryan on, and it's really interesting. To be a sports talk show host, I have to be willing to admit I'm wrong. And I thought Gettleman in his first year was completely over his skis, but he won the OBJ trade. Leonard Williams was a fantastic pickup. Joe Judge was a great hire. Logan Ryan was smart. Daniel Jones can play. I watched them Sunday, Peter. And if they can beat Seattle with Colt McCoy, I don't know. I mean, it's when was the moment for you with New York this year? You thought, you know what? It's a real football team. This is not a bad team. This is a good team with a bad record, and there is a difference.
It was the Monday night game against Tampa. They were the better team on the field that night, but because of two bad turnovers from Daniel Jones, it just didn't show.
Right.
That was the night where I said, you know, look, if let's just say for the sake of argument, the Giants go on to win the NFC East, and you look at their opening, you look at their wild card game. Could you imagine if Tampa Bay is the 5 seed? Now, who knows who will be the 5 seed? But imagine it's Tampa, and they've got to come to the Meadowlands again, and it's Tom Brady against the New York Football Giants again. You know, 2007, 2011, 2020? And, you know, so I think that would be a real – hey, look, the Giants in January, I think, and Washington maybe too, because they both have really good defenses, they're going to be a tough out for somebody.
Yeah. You know, I led my show yesterday, and I've never done this before. On a Monday with football, I led my show with a 45-0 game. I led it with Belichick, and I said, 45-0 is what Alabama does to a Sun Belt conference team. The Chiefs would not beat the Jets 45-0 with a backup quarterback. What Belichick did to the entire Charger staff was an undressing. And I looked at it, and I thought, they are two plays away, Peter, a fumble late against Buffalo and a goal line stand by the Seahawks from being 8-4. And I said, outside of maybe Sean Payton and Andy Reid, Belichick, this is the best coaching job, honestly, I've ever seen in my life. I don't know how they're doing it. They had 8 opt-outs. I guess my question to you is, what did they do at quarterback? I mean, because to me, if they can win with this level of quarterback, is Cam come back? I mean, what do you make of what they're doing with what they have on the field?
I think it just shows it's a great example of how important coaching is in this environment, and not only how important coaching is, but how important depth of roster is. Okay, and look, you knew that it was going to be a struggle without Brady, you know, at his peak, or peak Brady. And no one had any idea what to expect out of Cam Newton. The fact is, it's stunning, first of all, that you can score 45 points when your quarterback throws for 69 yards and your leading receiver has 3 catches for 1 yard. It's the roster, Colin. It's, you know, I wrote this in my column this week. Bill Belichick does not discriminate on his team. Everybody's going to play some special team, okay? And Devin McCourty was in exactly the right place at the right time, 2 seconds left in the first half, to pick up the blocked field goal and to run whatever he ran, 45, 50 yards with it for a touchdown. That is what a Bill Belichick team does. Now, you know, look, Colin, I bet you can find in about the last 18 years someone in December saying, oh, this is Belichick's best coaching job.
Yeah.
You know, and look, the guy's a great coach. He always has been a great coach. He's never going to lose a game in an embarrassing way and not learn a tremendous amount from it. He's always done that. And I think he has done that this year because, look, the San Francisco beatdown in Foxborough, embarrassing.
Yes.
Just totally embarrassing.
Yeah.
And you know, so they learn from things like that, and you got to hand it to Belichick. But I will just say one thing in non-defense of Bill Belichick. A lot of these problems are of his own doing because he has not replenished the roster with top-level offensive talent at all.
Fair.
And so you say, okay, they score 45 points and beat the Chargers. I'm not complaining. I'm not indicting anything. But I am saying that offense is really not good at all.
Yeah.
And that has to get fixed. And every year, Belichick scotch tapes it together a little bit, but never fixes it.
Yeah. Finally, I think we're overreacting a tad to the Philadelphia situation. So I wrote this down this morning. So Philadelphia has won 9 division titles in 20 years, and they've won 2 division titles in 5 years. This is a well-run organization. Tom Coughlin and Eli Manning were awful for 3 years in a row. And the Giants didn't overreact until like year 4. And I'm looking at the Eagles and I'm like, this is a gold standard organization that won a division last year. And right now they stink. But can we take a deep breath on this stuff outside of New England?
Agreed.
Everybody goes sideways. It's like I look at Philadelphia and it's man overboard. I'm like, can we just – it's an obstacle. Eli had bad years. Get over it. Like I think are we overreacting to the Wentz mess right now?
I don't know that we're overreacting to Wentz. Wentz shouldn't be playing right now. They ought to be playing Jalen Hurts and seeing what they have going into next year. Okay, but I agree with you. I'm not firing Doug Peterson. You know, they need to just take their medicine and fix it in the offseason. And basically say to Carson Wentz, you're our guy. But you're our guy, you're our guy, you're our guy, exclamation point. But you're playing lousy right now. The offensive line might be the worst in football, except the center. And we have to play the more mobile guy. The guy you were like, by the way, in 2017. That part of Carson Wentz's game has gone out the window. And I think one of the reasons it has is that he realizes that's how he's gotten hurt, you know, being such a mobile guy and outside the pocket. But I don't know, Colin, I agree totally with you that you don't do the best thing for your organization when you panic in a bad year.
Yeah.
Last year, the Eagles still made the playoffs.
Yep.
You know, and they didn't panic in a bad year. Because they said we are injured incredibly all over our roster. And we're not going to overreact this year either. We're going to fix the offensive line. We're going to try to scotch tape Carson Wentz back together. And in 2021, we're coming back with the same cast. And we're going to win and be confident in it and go ahead. And then in 2021, if Carson Wentz stinks again, then you got a decision to make. But I would not throw him overboard after this year at all.
Peter, good talking to you again. Thank you on a Tuesday, sir. Appreciate it.
All right, Colin.
By the way, I'll throw this out just to defend to Peter's point, to my point, where people are overreacting. So they won the division last year. They won the division 9 times in 20 years, 2 or 3 times in 5 years. Here's Philadelphia's losses this year, and most of them one possession. What do these teams have in common? Rams, Steelers, Ravens, Giants, Browns, Seahawks, Packers. They're all playoff teams. So they're losing close football games to playoff teams. They're no loss to the Jags, no loss to the Texans. Look at their losses. Take the opener out against Washington. They've lost to the Rams, close to the Steelers, close to the Ravens, close to the Giants, close to the Browns, close to the Seahawks. And this weekend, you know, they got beat by a better team. Like, you know, it's they're losing mostly close to all playoff teams since mid-September. It's like, I can't. And I looked this morning. This is Philadelphia. two division titles in 5 years, 3-10, 5-15, and 9-20. It's a good organization, having a crappy year. They won it last year. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
And they won it last year in kind of crazy fashion.
Remarkable.
They had so many injuries.
And still won it.
Yeah. I mean, I agree. Like, Carson Wentz's play is unacceptable.
Yeah, you can play Jalen Hurts. I'm not losing any sleep on that. But this whole thing, fire the coach, do this. Like, settle down.
That's not what championship organizations
That's
do.
That's right. Yeah, bad years.
So the Washington football team took down a championship organization team, undefeated Steelers last night, 24-17.
Dominating.
I don't know if it was dominating, but they did win. Chase Young was not surprised by the turnout. Following the game, Young said the team just felt it, and he thinks the Steelers were exposed in their loss last week to the Ravens. Browns defensive end Myles Garrett took to Twitter to hint that the AFC North crown might be within reach. He tweeted, the Steelers might have opened the door.
They did.
I personally love this.
I'm here for it.
Because there's nothing better than the Browns talking trash and taking an L. So I think say more Browns. Congrats. You know, you're 9-3, and they're going to play in Week 17, which will be a tremendous game with a lot on the line.
Cleveland, remember who has always supported you through thick and thin? Uncle Colin. I have always had your back in all harsh instances.
I think everyone is, look, the Steelers have some significant injuries. They are not running the ball. They had way too many drops last night. Looked very undisciplined.
By the
way, they've got to get it together.
They are a drop machine.
What's interesting about the Steelers, though, is not the Browns, because, I mean, come on. It's not the Browns. It's the Chiefs. So, because you're trying to get that bye.
Right.
So the rest of the Steelers' schedule, obviously they have the Bills, which is going to be a very tough game.
Yeah.
Then they have the Bengals. The Colts, which is not a gimme game at all. And then, of course, the Browns in Week 17.
That's a loss.
The Chiefs have the Dolphins, which is interesting.
Win.
But I think still win. The Saints, which is...
Go either way.
Falcons, which you have to be careful with them.
Stay away from that one, yeah.
And then the Chargers in the last week, which I think by that point the Chargers will be...
Done.
Yeah. So it's going to be an interesting next couple weeks for the Chiefs and the Steelers. Who's going to get that bye, because I think the Steelers have the tougher schedule. But the Browns have won four straight, including the win over the Titans, so they are 9-3, second place in the AFC
Never
North.
Never doubt this organization in Cleveland.
They have the Ravens, they're at the Giants, at the Jets, and the Steelers, so they don't necessarily have the easiest schedule in their final four games either. Speaking of the Ravens, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens face the Cowboys tonight at 7 Eastern on Fox.
Can't wait. I think I'll take the Cowboys plus the points.
Well, according to Fox Bet, Lamar and the Ravens are 7.5-point favorites against the Cowboys.
I bet this one. It was a little better number. I like it better at 8, but go on.
Well, Lamar will be returning to the field tonight after being forced to sit out last Wednesday's game against the Steelers. It was the first game he's been out in his 3-year career. According to teammates, missing that huge rivalry game really bothered him.
Yeah.
And the Ravens have lost 3 straight, and they pretty much need to win at least 4 of their 5 final games to make the playoffs, because they currently sit at 3rd in the AFC North.
They're going to win the game tonight. They match up well with Dallas. The question is, can Dallas be competitive? And I think the answer is yeah. I think
Dallas will be competitive. The problem for Dallas is their defense is not great this year, and I'm being kind. And their run defense specifically is pretty terrible, and that's what the Ravens do really well. And having Lamar Jackson back, coming off of missing last week, wanting to prove something, and of course this is their season. They need to win these final games. It's a must-win for both teams, but obviously I think that the Ravens will win as well. I think it's going to be a competitive game, though. Finally, there are 71 days between the end of the last NBA season and the first game of this season. Last season wrapped up on October 11th, and the new season begins 2 weeks from today. And LeBron was very surprised about the early start to the season.
I was like, wow. Oh, and I said, just being completely honest, I wasn't expecting that, because early conversations were going on that I was hearing that there would be kind of a mid-January start, and the training camp will kind of start after Christmas.
Look, it's going to be rough on the Heat and the Lakers.
Yeah.
harder for the Lakers because they have an older team than the Heat.
Yeah.
But it's not ideal for those two teams. They were in the bubble the longest. They had really hard playoff games.
Yeah.
And LeBron probably needs more rest. But that's nothing in life is fair.
That's right.
Even for LeBron James.
Yeah. Like, you won a title, so it's that's the good news.
Yes. You got the good news is you have a title. You did get younger in the offseason. Now, the interesting thing is the NBA has updated their policy towards sitting players. So according to Chris Haynes, the updated policy prohibits teams from resting healthy players for any high-profile nationally televised game, and violation could result in a fine of at least $100,000.
Yeah.
So they are trying to make an active effort to get rid of load management affects the fans.
Yeah, it does. I mean, if you're a small-town kid like I was and you can go to one game a year you can afford, you don't want to go in and not have Giannis play. That's Kawhi not play. That's no good.
Now, they are going to be a little more flexible to the teams that are playing back-to-back games or, say, the Heat and the Lakers who were in the bubble for the longest and played deep into the playoffs. Or resting someone who's coming back from COVID-19, obviously. So it's not that they're going to be ridiculous, but they are going to be paying attention to this and managing and trying to get rid of some of the issues that load management has caused for fans and the networks.
All right, good stuff. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Big Ten, Michigan, Ohio State officially been canceled due to COVID issues with Michigan. So Michigan and Ohio State has officially been canceled. Where are we now in the whole thing about Ohio State not having enough games? Can they qualify for the playoff now?
As of now, they would need to play one more Big Ten game to make the Big Ten championship. The playoff doesn't really have any rules. Because it's a committee. But they would right now not be eligible for the Big Ten title game. The Big Ten could, of course, change that or just find them another opponent.
Yeah, just find them another opponent. That's all you got to do. Just find Ohio State another opponent.
They have said that they may change the rules, though, which would be the right thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, Ohio State's the best team next. I mean, come on. Michigan's no good this year. Wisconsin's got losses. Northwestern's good, but they're not. You know, Indiana's been a great story. Indiana's probably the second best team in the conference right now. Could be.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Jalen Hurts just named the starting quarterback in Philadelphia over Carson Wentz. Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I don't think they're making the playoffs either way. And Michigan-Ohio State's been canceled. College football this year to me has been one big mulligan. I'm not going to lie. That's how I've watched it. I watched about one game every Saturday. You know, it's just it's a big mulligan. Alabama looks like, once again, they're way ahead of everybody except Clemson. So Michigan, Ohio State canceled. Big Ten, figure out a way to get Ohio State into the playoff if they go undefeated. Chris Broussard, former New York Times guy, Fox Sports NBA guy, now joining us live. Okay, let's start with this. LeBron said he was offended by Kyrie Irving saying that Kevin Durant's the best closer ever. Shouldn't LeBron be above this, being bothered by this?
You know, Colin, I think LeBron was honest. I think all of us would be bothered. If Joy went to work for another radio show a year from now and said, man, I'm finally with a host that knows what he's talking about. You know, I mean, come on. As great as you are, as successful as you are, you still would be a little hurt by that.
Yeah,
all right. And now, a lot of us would play it off, you know, and say, oh, look, I've won 3 rings without Kyrie. He hasn't won any without me. I'm not worried at all about what he says. I mean, he thinks the earth is flat. You could have said that. And everybody would have laughed and, oh, LeBron's above that. But I think LeBron was honest, as most of us, all of us would be hurt to some degree. And he did say, I'm hurt a little bit. It hurt me a little bit. Not losing sleep over it, but it hurt him a little bit.
By the way, not to be insecure, but did Joy really say that about me? Oh, anyway, sorry. Okay. So,
sorry, Joy. I knew that was in confidence.
It's all good.
I really created a mess here. So James Harden. He has never given us an inclination that he wants to lead. He's just a great player. So when he doesn't lead and he goes AWOL, everybody's like, oh, this is outrageous. And I'm like, he keeps telling you. He doesn't want to lead the franchise. He wants to be the guy with the ball in his hands with a minute and a half to go. Are you surprised? Do you think it's a good move, bad move? What do you make of it?
Well, it's a bad move right now. Look, first of all, he's obviously out there partying at clubs, and he's not socially distancing. That is a bad move. He also doesn't have an agent. It's him and his mom doing this. Oh. If you're going to try to do this type of power move, Remember Anthony Davis had Rich Paul and Clutch doing it for him? You probably need an agent to work this thing out for you. Maybe it wouldn't be as messy as it is. But what he's done is he's engaged in a game of chicken with the Houston Rockets. And if he's willing, we don't know how much he's willing to sit out. Is he willing to sit out all of training camp? Is he willing to sit out most of the season or all of the season? If he does that, it may look bad, it'll look messy, but ultimately he'll gain leverage and get what he wants. But if he can't do that, then he's going to have to come crawling back. I think Houston should be smart about this, Colin. Don't get bullied into trading him yet. It's too early. Kevin Durant would say, it's too soon, bro. It's too soon. There's so much that can happen. Maybe you play well with John Wall and Boogie Cousins and things look okay for you. And now you want to trade Harden maybe for a veteran or for some young players that can help you win now rather than rebuilding. Maybe Brooklyn doesn't go well and Kyrie Irving gets hurt. He's injury prone. He gets hurt. And now they're willing to give you more for James Harden. Maybe it goes terrifically in Brooklyn. And they're playing so well that they say, you know what? We don't want to bring Harden in to mess this up. So that gives you leverage with Harden. Maybe Philadelphia, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons don't play well together under Doc Rivers. And Ben Simmons becomes available at the trade deadline. So if I'm Houston, I've still got leverage because of Harden's contract. Let me sit back and relax until I get exactly what I want in a trade. So that's how they should play this. But if it goes too long, ultimately he's going to start getting more leverage.
Couple of minutes left. KD and Kyrie, give me your prediction how it works.
On paper, they're the best team. And I would love to see a LeBron, KD, AD, Kyrie finals. I mean, that would be tremendous. But Colin, the Nets have got to use the Clippers as a cautionary tale. They're very similar. Remember, the Clippers, before they got Kawhi and Paul George, they were the little engine that could. They were overachievers. They were gritty. They grinded. They played hard for all 48 minutes. Same thing with the Nets. The Nets, Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie, Joe Harris, Jared Allen, it was the same exact thing. And if Kyrie and KD will drop into that and not be prima donnas, you're going to get perks because you're the best two players. But don't ask for the super perks. Don't make the division between you and the role players too big, because then you'll ruin the culture and you'll underachieve. That's what happened with the Clippers, with Kawhi and Paul George being prima donnas, and it ruined their season. So KD and Kyrie should look at the Clippers as a cautionary tale. If they do that, they can definitely reach the finals, because in the East, they're the best team on paper.
Chris Broussard, good talking to you, bud. Thanks for stopping by on a Tuesday.
All right, Colin, anytime.
May have ruined a relationship with me and Joy, but that's no biggie. Okay, Jalen Hurts starting for Philadelphia. You know, he gave him a little spark. Let's see what happens. I think they've got bigger issues. Even if he's the solution short term, they can't fix the problem. Carson Wentz is expensive and not good right now. I don't know what you do. That's the nightmare place to be. That's having an expensive car that always breaks down. Philadelphia, I don't see the sun on the horizon. I don't even see a blip of light. I see bleak. Michigan, Ohio State has been canceled. You know, there's, by and large, golf, NASCAR, baseball, hockey, NBA, NFL have done an unbelievable job with COVID. Unbelievable. I've said this. I would rather have these commissioners than the governors.
Yeah.
They've been way better than the governors in this country. The commissioners have been great. Everybody's freaking out about college football. Folks, this was always going to be ugly. This was the easiest prediction I made all year. Joy and I are like, college football is going to be choppy. You're on college campuses with 21-year-old boys, not men, boys. You know, trying to control, and I'm just talking about the non-football players. Forget the young men where there's a little peer pressure that are on the football team. But if you go to anywhere on campus, you're dealing with kids. You know, some are responsible, some mask, some not. Kids kind of feel bulletproof, right? Like, this COVID doesn't hurt me. I don't have to wear a mask.
Also, there's no one overseeing all of these different colleges and bringing everyone together and setting a standard for how this is supposed to be done. So everyone's doing their own thing.
Yeah. So, like, this is just, let's just get through college football. It's a big mulligan. Let's get through it. People have mostly done a great job. We can blame everybody. It was never designed to be it's like driving a convertible in Alaska in December and going, it doesn't work. Hour three next.